All right, let's pray. Let's pray for you, all right, and for your needs. I'm going to pray in Thanksgiving today, just for God's goodness. He's been so good to me. I just want to thank you for your prayers for my wife. She's doing better. I want to give thanks for that as well. And I want to pray for all those who are under the weather. We were reporting a little bit earlier in the broadcast how we're seeing an increase in RSV, in influenza, in COVID, in mycoplasma, a whole lot of different situations affecting people's health. So if you're under the weather, let's pray for your healing, for restoration of it, okay? My colleague, Mike Kendall, who's here with me a little bit, he stopped by the studio as I was getting prepped, and he said, hey, thanks for the prayers last week. He's back. So he's made his recovery, so he's grateful for the prayers as well. I want to thank you for your generosity, too. I know last week we asked for a lot of money, and so many people gave generously, like our beautiful caller there in Seattle, Washington today, who gave four times. If you couldn't give, let's pray for your finances. Let's pray that God blesses you. All right? I want to pray for health. I want to pray for relationships. I want to pray for all those intentions that we all carry. Let me just start with a quick petition. This person said to me, hey, I'm in need of prayers. I married my non-Catholic husband with the understanding that he would not interfere with the raising of our children in the Catholic faith. I'm 4 months pregnant, and it's now being brought into the light that my husband is opposed to my faith and the raising of our children Catholic. I feel trapped, like I was lied to at the altar, believing I was in a marriage with freedom and respect, and the ability to practice my faith. My love for Jesus is the cornerstone, Drew, of who I am. I feel sick to my stomach. I need a miracle. I pray for my husband's conversion every day, but I am worried about the future of my child now not being raised in an environment where faith is encouraged. And I would appreciate your prayers in the chaplet. I've seen the miracles of that prayer before, and I trust that God only permits what is for my good. And I'll keep your name anonymous here, but I totally get it. I totally understand it. True story. I have a relative who is not Catholic. He vowed to raise the kids Catholic with his wife, and they did that. They raised them. They went to, they got their sacraments, et cetera. But I'll tell you what, and I'll be honest with you, those kids don't believe in God today. And the influence of a father on the faith of a child is far more compelling than anything. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is or why it is. Studies have proven it, and clearly it has a profound impact. He's a good man. I love him very much. Doesn't believe in God. And so we need to pray for his conversion, but his atheism, his lack of belief in God has now filtered down, because once his children turned adults or 18, and they knew it, they knew he never went to mass, never, participated in the faith. They knew that he was not a God-fearing, worshiping, prayerful believer, right? He didn't believe in God. So whether or not he lets his kids go and receive the sacraments or not, there's always that side of a young child who's saying, why do I need to go, right? So look, let's pray for this. I'm going to pray for all those mothers and grandparents out there who want their kids baptized, or grandparents out there who are worried about their children because their kids aren't baptizing them. I want to pray for those who are in need of God's grace for conversion. I want to pray especially for your situation. Well, I ask God really to intervene in a particular way. And I'm telling you, the prayer of conversion is always heard and answered. I'm convinced of it. Continue to pray for your husband. Continue to believe that God will work this out and bring good out of it. And pray for the protection over your children. God will honor that prayer. I'm telling you right now, I have no doubt whatsoever your children will one day be in a relationship with God. They'll know the faith. So don't give up on that, okay? Just continue to pray. And we're joining you today in that prayer. That goes for anyone who's walking in those similar situations. I want to pray for my buddy, Jay Bosco. Jay, Dr. Bosco, we're going to pray for him. And we prayed for him before he had some heart issues, made an unbelievable recovery. And he's a big believer too, this guy. We prayed for his son. He recognizes, as a surgeon, as a physician, he understands science completely, right? It's his way of life. It's his universe. It's his world. But he also sees God's fingerprints on it. And it's the thing I always respected about this particular physician, this particular man. There were times we prayed for his son. Clearly, he saw a miracle take place in the life of his son when other doctors were saying, oh, wow, we can't believe this. Well, it must have been because we did X, Y, and Z. They tried to look for the answers. And even his own heart, he says, it's like new. So we want to thank God for him. I told him I'd pray for him today during the chapel. So, Jay, we're lifting you up and your family. Also want to pray for the soul of a woman. I just got word up before walking into the studio. Her name was Franny, and very much loved by her family, but died. God just called her home, and somebody said, could you pray for her? So we'll do that. Maggie, let me get you in here as well. I know there's some anything you want to pray for before we get to our Twitter feed?
Yeah, Drew, I got an email from Madeline, who takes calls from listeners. Our phone lines were really hot earlier with that previous segment. So she took a phone call from someone that wanted to pass this along. She said, I live in the state of Nevada. She said, the Senate race hasn't officially been called yet, but the media is calling it. Hmm. She says, this will determine Senate control. She says, please pray for Adam Laxalt, the pro-life Republican.
Yeah, I thought that was over.
Maybe.
Yeah, the media did call it, though. I mean, that's the thing. The media did call it, but I guess you're going to wait till every vote comes in. So.
I don't know. So I just wanted to lift up that representative.
Remind me later, Maggie, or tomorrow. We have got to do something on election integrity. We've got to plan a show a little bit later, taking a look at the vote and all that. Let's just pray for wherever there's divide in politics side. Politics can divide family. It can divide friends. It clearly can divide a country. So let's pray for a spirit of unity here. And let's just ask God for miracles today. I don't know what you need. Is it that financial blessing? Is it that health blessing? Is it that future spouse, that new beginning? What is it that you need? I want to pray for a man I know that is in prison right now. He has a major appeal looming for him. He wrote to me the other day. And I'm praying for a miracle for this man, that God can expunge and set free this particular individual. So, all right, we'll pray now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Let's take our first call, I guess, today from Joe, who's listening to us in New Jersey, in Passaic, New Jersey. Hi, Joe. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm praying for my niece. Her father was Catholic, non-practicing. He married a Presbyterian. She just broke up with a boyfriend who is an alcoholic, and she finds out she has a clogged colon or something, the emergency surgery on that, and then they found out that she has, they described it as a thin lining on her spleen. Now, I don't know if that means she's going to have to spleenectomy or whatever the word is for it, but that's what I'm praying for.
All right, let's pray. Let's pray right now, all right? We will lift up in a particular way your niece. And Lord, I just ask you to be the hands of all those who are going into surgery right now. I pray for anyone with colon issues, those who have, awaiting their biopsies, those with blocked colons in this case, and anyone with cancer of that area. And I just ask you, heal and you touch today. I give you the infirm and the sick. I mean, Joe is just one intention. So many other people carrying these issues of health. And I just bring them to you as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I want to pray for those who mourn today. I've got a friend who lost his mother recently. Quinn, we're praying for you and for the repose of your mother's soul and for all those today that mourn. I want to pray for those young men, those three football players that were shot on the UVA campus, and for an end to the terrorism that we're seeing on our American soil. It's just so horrible. Let's go to Diana next. She's in Traverse City, Michigan. Hi, Diana. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Drew. I called in a couple weeks ago about this woman that was going to have her fourth abortion. Well, it's a miracle. The divine mercy heard everyone's prayers, prayer warriors. She's not having an abortion. She's going to keep this fourth baby.
Wow. Praise God.
And that was only 2 weeks ago.
I love that. Hey, you got to sit down and write that up, okay? And send me an email, okay? Drew@relevantradio.com. Mark answered prayer. I love that. I'm convinced that this prayer, I remember your call. I'm so convinced God hears these prayers and miracles unfold every single day, and that's a major one. What a blessing that child will be.
I'm still in shock with this. I mean, it's a miracle, yes. Yeah.
I remember entrusting that child to God's mercy. We asked it to be brought to light. That child's got a great mission in life, and the mother will one day see that. So, so grateful for your prayers. I really am, and for your intercession on that case.
I am for everyone, for all the prayer warriors,
amen,
and I would like them to pray for me to find an abortion. Wants to put her house up for sale.
Diane, I missed part of that again. You want to pray for you to do what again? You dropped out for a second.
To get into an apartment because my sister wants to sell her house.
Oh,
I have nowhere to go.
All right, let's pray for you right now. We'll ask for miracle number two. Diane, thank you for your intercession. I ask all those children who have been aborted, all those holy innocents, to intercede for Diane now. For all those who are contemplating abortion, to choose life, for an end to the culture of death, for the conversion of those in that industry. Lord, I give you thanks for Diane. I give you thanks for hearing this prayer, for saving this child. We ask that this child be a tremendous blessing to its mother and a witness for the beauty of life. But right now, I give you Diane and all those who are having problems with their mortgage, finding rent, being able to pay their rent, finding a place to live. And I just pray for a miraculous resolution to her situation. So Lord, I pray for those on the streets, those who are homeless, those in need of shelter. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, great. Before we go to Dave, who is in Austin, Texas, keeping it weird, right, Austin? Maggie's going to join me. She's been, that's their motto down there, keeping it weird. I like it. Austin's a great little city. Hey, Maggie, I know you're monitoring a lot of Twitter, and I want to encourage people, please send us your prayer intentions there. It's at Drew Mariani Show. That's the Twitter page for the show, at Drew Mariani Show. You can also follow me at Drew Mariani, my personal Twitter. I'd love to stay in touch with you on both places and hoping to be more active in the days ahead. But a lot of intentions are coming in. Great way to communicate with us on the show, too, because Maggie has been monitoring it. And Mag, what's coming in?
We actually got a written prayer request in the mail. I've got it right here from Dave from Kelso, Washington. He says, believe it or not, Drew, I found your book, The Divine Mercy book, at a Goodwill store.
Oh, wow.
So he picked up your book.
A treasure.
And now he's been listening. And so he wrote to you and he says, I'm suffering from fear, anxiety, and bipolar problems. He says, I need a miracle. It's really bad. My family really needs some prayer.
Yeah.
So I want to lift up Dave. Samantha wrote to us. She said, I'm asking for prayers for my big brother, Joseph. We just found out that he has Parkinson's. Thank you. And Jeanette's asking for prayers for her mom, Mary, who is diagnosed with lung cancer. She says, we're praying that it hasn't spread and that it is treatable. She says, also please pray for my father, Tom, because he is devoted to my mother. And then lastly, I promised Jeff Fortenberry that we would pray through the special intercession of Blessed Silos for him and his family. He says that he's been praying a special devotion through Blessed Silos.
I have no doubt that he'll come through. It's another very powerful, powerful saint. Hey, I'm very grateful for the person who wrote the letter and was in a... Where did they find that? In a Goodwill?
In a Goodwill.
I love it. You know, I've seen people, the book was given away free. We moved 100,000 copies of this book, and people still want the book. I mean, I'm still getting a lot of letters and emails. Maggie snagged a rare copy that was around. But people are putting it on eBay for $40, $50. And I'm like, why are you doing that? You got it for free, right? But I'm happy you got the book. It's a great way to come to learn more about Divine Mercy, not just the chapel, but the devotion itself. And we will one day, you know, reissue that book. I'm convinced of that. So, Lord, I pray for all those who don't know about your mercy, that you can illuminate that pathway into your merciful arms, your merciful heart. I pray for all these intentions that have come in that Maggie just voiced. I want to add Dave to the mix. He's praying with us in Austin. Hi, Dave. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. Quickly, a young man, he's about 20, he's in surgery right now. He got a sinus infection that migrated to his brain, and so he's got a viral infection, bacterial infection, and so we're praying for his successful procedure and full recovery. And then we're supposed to get final word on an adoption tomorrow for Ava. And we just hope that happens. And a final one for Marie, that she is cleansed of all of her MS. So Austin, Ava, and Marie.
Austin, please. Ava, and Marie, you got it.
I'm originally from Philly.
Yo, brother. Go Eagles, right?
Go Eagles.
That's great. Hey, I can hear your accent. That's people always say that. Oh, I can hear you from the East Coast. It's like, really? Hey, Dave, let me ask you about Eva real quick, or Ava. How long have you been fostering or trying to adopt? How long has that process been underway?
4 years. Wow. So she was, it's my wife's niece who was born addicted to heroin.
Oh, wow.
And so we've had her since she's 8 weeks old.
Oh.
It's been a long, strange trip, but we're supposed to get final word, tomorrow.
Well, we're going to pray now for you. I'm glad you got through today. Perfect day to get through on the phone with us. Do me a favor, pray for my own son and daughter-in-law. They're fostering now. They'd like to adopt too. So, and we'll pray for no residual effects, the beautiful Ava, and that she be a tremendous blessing to you and to the family. And I'm so grateful to hear from you here. And Lord, I pray for this young man who is in surgery to remove, this man who's dealing with this virus, bacterial and viral, man, unbelievable, that terrible sinus infection. I pray for anyone battling these type of conditions right now. But I want to pray for Austin. I want to pray for Ava, and I want to pray for Dave in particular, you know, for all the intentions he voiced. But Lord, I pray for any child right now who is in foster care, any mother who's in need of healing. I want to pray for any mother who's had an abortion and is still wounded by that mistake, that she may know your love and mercy. And I pray right now for those trying to adopt, that you put into the lives of those couples the right child. So I give you these intentions, everything Dave voiced, and all those who pray with me now as we turn to you once again. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. So from Dave to Tim in Lisbon, Wisconsin. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Tim. Hi. I have three intentions. One is, help in serious financial matters, an end to abortion, and for the souls in purgatory.
Oh, good prayer. Well, thank you, Tim. Okay. Let's lift them up. First of all, thank you for your intention for the souls. It is a month dedicated to the souls. Let's pray for those who've died, those who are nearing death, especially those who've gone before us. But Lord, I want to pray for finances. I know what it is like. I've been down that path where I was broke as a joke. I didn't know I could put food on the table or diapers on my kids. I know what it was like. And I just want to tell anyone who's struggling financially right now, if you are in that situation, God is a God of mercy first and foremost, and he's a God of providence, and he is a multiplier. I say it all the time. Don't despair. Do not lose hope over your current situation. You will be amazed if you walk with faith, if you keep your eyes on the Lord, if you choose to trust and pray, how the Lord resolves your financial situation. You will be shocked. In fact, you'll have a story to tell. I've seen it multiple times in my own life. You know, we often say God brings good out of every situation. I think the Lord allowed me to endure those hardships, those difficulties, those tests of life and faith, so that I could with complete confidence say to you, hey, this is the formula to find a way out of this situation. I know it might seem daunting or impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So Lord, I give you Tim and all of his intentions. I give you everyone who's on hold right now, those who are struggling in faith, those who are overcome by fear, those who are facing mountains before them. They're in the valley and they don't see any way they're going to get through this. I just pray you fortify them and you show them your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, well, let's see if I can grab an extra call or two. We'll go to Jesus first. He's listening and praying with us in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, hey, Jesus, how you doing?
Hi, how are you, Drew? Hanging in there. I would just like for some prayers for my marriage. And it's been pretty difficult recently. And also, I would like to ask everyone to pray for my wife. You know, she has emotionally distanced herself from me. Yeah. And for whatever, and also to pray for whatever she's holding on in her heart that's, you know, making her depressed and wants to just call it quits on our marriage that lasted over 20 years.
Oh, my gosh. How horrible. I'm sorry, Jesus. I am. Hang in there. Okay, you keep praying for her. Pray, fast, sacrifice, ask God for his mercy. And we're going to join you today. You know, you're our family member, and family will pray for one another. And I know there are a lot of people who've gone exactly down the same path you're now traveling, and they're going to pray for you and for your relationship. And Lord, I don't know what the details of this situation are, but if there's illness there, if there's depression, if there are other issues, we just ask that you remedy and you heal that. And through the grace of this sacramental bond of marriage, I just pray that you allow new union and new beginnings and healing, and just allow Jesus and his wife to be a real witness, a testimony to the beauty of marriage and especially to prayer. God can heal anything, whether it's cancer or your marriage, right? And again, these things seem impossible, right? The heart has grown cold. The person has grown distant. There's infidelity. God can heal your relationship. He can make it stronger and better than it has ever been. So, Lord, I just ask for that today. I pray for marriages. Fortify and strengthen those good marriages. Lord, heal and reunite and fortify those marriages that need your mercy. So I bring them to you. Let me sneak in Sandy in Flagstaff, Arizona as well. Sandy, good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew, so much. I just wanted to ask the nation to pray for our beautiful state of Arizona. Okay. We're feeling pretty discouraged that it looks like, and I'm holding out a big cup, as you would say.
Amen.
It looks like, you know, it could be that we are going to have some pretty strong pro-abortion leaders. And I'm just believing God is greater and trusting in his will, but if the nation would please pray for Arizona, we really need to hold tight with life, and we need Amen. Some hands to hold.
Well, you got it, Sandy. We'll pray for you and all of your personal needs, but especially for the state of Arizona and our entire union. right? Life one day will be protected in this country. I'm convinced that you and I right now are in the battle. We're in the midst of it. What can we do? We feel overwhelmed. We may not be legislators, right? We may not have a microphone. We may not be able to do. We can pray. We can do more in one day of prayer. You and I right now, as we pray this chaplet, can do more to change this country and to vanquish the culture of death than any politician or celebrity could ever do. So, Lord, I do pray in particular for Arizona, for California, for all these states that have enshrined and want to advance the culture of death, for those politicians that have really gone down the wrong path. We pray for conversion. All of Sandy's intentions. Let me sneak one last intention in here. This comes from Eloise in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yes, I'd like you to pray for my sister's grandson, Andrew, who had a severe accident on Friday. It rained here on Thursday a lot. And on Thursday night, it got very cold. And on Friday morning, on his way to work, his truck flipped over, and he was severely hurt. And he was in surgery a lot on Saturday. And his family was told that he may not walk again. And he just turned 20 years old.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right.
And his father just finished chemo for cancer.
Oh, what a tragedy. Eloise, hang in there. All right. We're going to pray for your sister's grandson. And we're going to pray for his father. We're going to pray for the incredibly difficult crosses that so many people have to carry. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. And I just ask for it on behalf of all those now crying out to you. You know their needs. You know the crosses that they carry. And I just implore your mercy as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole
world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for
us. Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine.
Pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Send me in your answered prayers. Email me, drew@irrelevantradio.com. I know God's working. Take that moment, okay? Do me a favor. Just sit down and say, hey, I prayed with you. Here's how God resolved that situation. Our conversation continues. We got a lot straight ahead. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter @DrewMarianiShow.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
It's the Drew Mariani Show.
Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Hey, great to be back here with you. Thanks for praying with me. And if you enjoy the chaplet, just a side note, every afternoon at the same time, it's 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 Central time zone. We gather around the country, and boy, I'll tell you what, we are hearing some just incredible, incredible testimonies that come in, and I'm just so grateful for that. Tell others about it. Turn them on, get them plugged into it, and watch how lives get changed. Yeah. All right, if you want to join me too, my lines are always open for you. It's 888 888- 914-914-9. I just want to again put out a giant thank you. I don't know if I've been trying to share it every hour, maybe even every half hour, because I'm kind of blown away by the generosity that we have seen during our pledge drive. And I just want to let you know, if you missed the final numbers, Relevant Radio closed the $3 million goal that we had to get to with about 20 minutes left. An anonymous donor came in with a major gift. It was $100,000 and put us over. And right now we're on our way to $3.4 million. And that money, I know it sounds extraordinary, and it is, that keeps us on the air. We reach over 250 million households around the country. Think about how many souls that is. Keeps us on the air for months to come. And it's the vision to continue to win more souls, to continue to be on more stations and let more people discover the power of God's mercy and the truth of our Catholic faith. So thank you for being part of this great evangelical missionary mission, really is what it is. This great commission Christ gave all of us to make disciples of all nations. And we all play our part through our prayers, through our sacrifice, and through our contributions. You know, we're donating to put another brick in that building, so to speak. You know, we're building this beautiful ministry that will continue to draw souls to God. I told Father Rocky, he was in the studio with me last week, I said, you know something, one day I'm going to be gone. One day you're going to be gone. Somebody else will take that torch, and the mission of Relevant Radio will continue. It'll continue to serve the church, it'll continue to speak truth, and it will continue to win souls for God. And you, those of you who have donated and stepped up in the past, I just want to say thank you, because you're part of the story. We're all in this. I'm a supporter. Maggie's a supporter. We all donate, and we believe in the vision. So I just want to say thank you for those of you who said yes. I had a call earlier today, a lady, and I never heard this before, four times. She donated one pledge drive. That's awesome. She keeps upping and upping and upping, and I know God always bless and get back to you. Hey, I want to change gears. I want to talk about something. I was watching the president's press conference this morning. He was in Bali. Sounds beautiful. It was humid over there, right? But what a gorgeous part of the world, right? He was at the G20, their meeting in Bali in Indonesia this week. And the president met, of course, with Chinese leader, met with a lot of different leaders. And during his press conference, he took like four questions, maybe five at the most. A lot of different questions came up. But when he met with Xi Jinping, and by the way, I'll tell you how it is. He's a dictator. You know, it's probably the best word for him. And his interest is really about China, right? But if you zoom in to see what this man is doing, we need to pray for his conversion. Xi Jinping was on the sidelines before the conference began, and the president met with him. I think they spent 3 or 4 hours together. According to the White House, they gave this readout of the meeting. The president told Xi that the U.S. is going to continue to compete with China on the global market. He talked about transnational issues like climate change. He's all in on the climate agenda and having us meet our goals by 2030. He talked about global stability, including debt relief and health security and global food security. And we talked about how we can work together with China in areas that, you know, we can do that with. But he also expressed concern about China's actions towards Taiwan, right? Of course, that's a big, big issue. They call that non-market economic practices. And he also, you know, talked about U.S. citizens who are being detained or not allowed to get exit visas. He also raised one final thing here, right? Concerns about Russian war right now, this Russian aggression against Ukraine and about North Korea. And both leaders, one of the really highlights of this meeting was they came out and they both agreed that the use of nuclear weapons is counterproductive and should never, ever be used. So, you know, everybody should take a sigh of relief. What didn't get raised sufficiently was what's happening in China right now with their human rights record, right? Unbelievable abuse over there. Why didn't the president talk about that? We talked about Taiwan, but here's your opportunity. If you're going to throw all these things on the table, what's one more, right? Why not say to him, hey, what's going on? You know, the White House readout says that Biden raised concerns about the PRC's practices in Xinjiang, in Tibet, and Hong Kong, and human rights more broadly, but critics say it wasn't enough. China, according to some estimates, now, listen to this number, because it's really quite hard for me to get my head around. China has between 1 to 3 million people detained in prison camps. Could you imagine if there were concentration camps set up in Germany today, or in Europe, or in South America, or in Canada, where you had 1 million to 3 million people in them? I mean, the world would be outraged. 1 to 3 million people detained in prison camps. And they're no better than these Nazi or Soviet concentration camps, or these so-called reform camps that Chinese developed a little bit earlier. Maggie and I were talking about it earlier. Remember hearing that video of people screaming from their balconies when they were all locked down? We're dealing with totalitarianism here. We're dealing with a nation where you pretty much have a dictator. He's going to rule for as long as he wants to rule. And the Uyghurs, they used to, you know, what used to be called East Turkestan, what China now calls the Xinjiang province, these people bear the brunt of it. They're being targeted for genocide. They're being removed from their homes. They're being placed in these camps. And then the Chinese move, get a load of this, and I don't want to be too graphic, and I want to lay the scenario out, because the former prime minister of East Turkestan is going to be with us here in just a second. I just want to tell you what they do. So they get all these women, right? They put all these people in this camp. They take them out of their homes. They put them in these reform or prison camps. And then they move in Han Chinese men into the villages in order to marry the Uyghur women and impregnate them, because they want to mix their race. They want to do away with the Uyghur race. And they're not alone. Catholics and other Christians, Tibetans, basically anyone who doesn't go along with the atheistic communist regime is targeted. Women talk about how they've been gang raped, how they've been tortured, how they've been forced into, forced labor, forced abortions. I mean, it's horrible. I won't go through all the details, because I want to get the prime minister of East Turkestan in exile on with me now. Salih Hudaior has been with me many times in the past. I thought I'd invite him back today in light of what the president did not say as he addressed the president of this country. And this is one of these unbelievable issues. You're talking about 1 to 3 million people who are suffering today. Hey, if you want to learn more about him, go to nationalawakening.org. Prime Minister, always good to talk with you. Thank you for joining me once again.
Thank you for having me.
So the White House readout, as I was saying, says that the president did address the Xinjiang in his discussion with Xi. What are you hearing? Have you heard at all exactly what he said? Did he come to the aid of the Uyghur people at all? I mean, what are you picking up on your end?
No, none of that, unfortunately. On the contrary, you hear about, more cooperation with China in various fields. We now heard that, Secretary of State Antony Blinken might be traveling to China to further, improve ties with China. The East Turkestan people, we clearly disapprove of this meeting. It's completely unbefitting of, the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, to meet with the Chinese dictator Xi Jinping and, talk about cooperation or just meet in general while China is actively carrying out, genocide against Uyghurs and other peoples in East Turkestan. Additionally, I mean, even if they were to meet, the only way that this meeting, should have happened is that President Biden made it very clear to Xi Jinping and China that the U.S. and the free world would no longer allow China to carry out genocide with impunity. We have always looked up to the United States as a beacon of hope.
Amen.
And protectors of the oppressed and freedom. We had long been pleading with the U.S. government, with the Biden administration, to intervene and to end this genocide of our people that's been going on since 2014.
Yeah. Hey, Prime Minister, do me a favor. I laid out very briefly some of what's happening, but put it into perspective, if you could. Well, let me do this. Let me take a break. When we come back, why don't you do that? I want people to truly understand the magnitude and the gravity of what's happening to these people. And I'm really curious, and I was talking with Maggie before the program about this, why there's no reporting on this at all. We were talking about Iran, too. I mean, she saw one report where 14,000 people are now sentenced to execution. We don't know how true that number is, but we do know there's genocide going on over in China right now. We'll lay out for you. If you're not familiar with the story, stay with me. You'll appreciate the perspective Prime Minister Salih Hudaior will share with you. We'll be back. We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities.
Visit relevantradio.com/Forrester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
If you don't live what you believe, you'll end up believing what you live. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's definitely true. Good afternoon. It's good to be back here with you today. Hey, if you're just joining me, just taking a quick look. The president was abroad meeting the G20. He had a brief press conference this morning in Bali. I actually was able to catch it. He only took about four questions. I was curious, when you deal with the leader of China, who's our largest competitor, their ambitions are to be more dominant than the U.S. on the world economic scene, as well as being the world preeminent military power. How are they treating their people? And what were issues that are critical, like economics, the race that we're in, and Taiwan, and all these other issues, COVID? The president had a couple hours, and he says, I told him, we were pretty direct, and we'll see. Who knows? 3 hours is a good conversation to have. I don't know what went down, but in the press conference, nobody really asked about the Uyghurs. And this is something I've been covering on the air. I try to give you a look at things that you don't always get coverage on. We need to hear more about this. The people should be aware. Congressman, Congressman Chris Smith has been on the show. Great champion of these people. So I've invited today the the Prime Minister of East Turkestan in exile, Salih Hudayar, to join us today. And, you might be hearing about this for the first time. You may not know much about what's happening with these people. So, Prime Minister, let's start with that first, and we can talk about a few other things, but maybe lay out who the people are and what kind of atrocity they're being subjected to, and why the world has not responded.
Yes, the Uyghurs are an ethnically Indo-European and Turkic people who have a history of over 6,000 years in East Turkestan. In late 1949, the People's Republic of China, after the Chinese communists came to power in China, invaded East Turkestan and overthrew the independent East Turkestan Republic. Since then, they've been engaging in a systematic campaign of colonization, which has proliferated to genocide, starting in 2014 with the mass internment of over 3 million, according to the U.S. Department of Defense, Uyghurs and other Turkic peoples. In these concentration camps, which the Chinese government claims are so-called vocational training centers or counter-extremism centers, mm-hmm. or whatnot. Uyghurs and other Turkic people are being forcibly indoctrinated. They're being tortured, both men and women. We have testimonies from former Chinese police officers who have stated that both men and women have been, subject to, sexual violence and rape. There's extensive organ harvesting happening. And while majority of them are not killed, many of them are sent into enslavement to work as slave labor, producing the cheap products, that are then exported all across the world. Outside the camps, life is just as, grim. You have hundreds of thousands of Uyghur and other Turkic women who have been sterilized. Over 850,000 children have been forcibly separated from their families and sent to state-run orphanages and boarding schools to be raised as, quote, atheist loyal Chinese citizens. And you have tens of thousands of Uyghur and other Turkic women being coerced to marry Chinese men in an effort to essentially breed out the Turkic peoples.
It's horrible. It really is what's happening there. It's absolutely horrific. I guess the next logical question that comes to my mind regarding this global, really, it's a genocide and tragedy. What is being done to end this, right? I mean, why isn't there more outrage? And what do you, as the prime minister there of East Turkestan in exile, what do you think the U.S. government should do? How are they working with you?
Well, so the reason why, there's not much being done, in fact, other than recognitions, the U.S. has recognized as genocide. The parliaments of over a dozen European countries have recognized this genocide. The UN has recognized it as crimes against humanity, yet nothing is being done because of China's immense political and economic power and the fact that, you know, China claims that, you know, it's internal affairs. The United States needs to make it clear, you know, by recognizing the fact that, you know, East Turkestan is an occupied country. Unbeknownst to many Americans, including, you know, many politicians, the United States had diplomatic presence in East Turkestan up until 1949. The first CIA officer to die in the line of duty, Douglas McNairn, was killed while evading East Turkestan when the Chinese communists invaded. The United States needs to take, you know, meaningful action. It needs to, you know, uphold the UN Genocide Convention and call on other countries to do the same. We shouldn't be meeting with, like, for example, President Biden shouldn't be meeting with Xi Jinping. In fact, what President Biden should be doing is calling out Xi Jinping as actively as possible, and, you know, trying to put as much pressure, whether it's economic, political, or otherwise, to end this genocide.
Well, let me open the phones, too. We'll take a few calls. If you want to join us, I only have Prime Minister Salih Hudaýar for a few moments. Feel free to share your own experience, views, or encounters if you've been following this story as well. The number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We'll take a few more calls. So, you know, as I sit back here, I'm taking a look at this. And I'm thinking, well, what's the current situation? Is China building more concentration camps? That's my understanding. I understand they are. And if so, who's supposed to go in those? And that number, 1 to 3 million, how accurate is that? That is a ton of people.
Yes. So as far as the concentration camps, the Australian Strategic Policy Institute and many other researchers, they found that there's, you know, using Chinese government procurement data and satellite imagery, found that there's over 1,400 concentration camps across East Turkestan. The Department of Defense came out in May 2019, and they said, according to their estimates, there's at least 3 million or more Uyghurs and other Turkic peoples. The State Department said there was 2 to 3 million, but the Department of Defense, they have better technology. I think their satellite analysis found that this is the case. The Chinese government itself published a white paper stating that between 2014 and 2019, they sent 1.29 million people every single year to so-called vocational training centers, which is a sick euphemism for the concentration camps. That's roughly 7.8 million people over the course of, you know, 8 years. This is the sad reality. And right now, under the guise of so-called COVID, zero COVID policy, the Chinese government is building tens of thousands, you know, hundreds of concentration camps under the guise, you know, saying that they're quarantine facilities across, you know, the vast deserts, remote areas across East Turkestan. And each of these so-called, you know, quarantine facilities are holding, you know, at least several thousand cells, individual cells or units. And so we fear that, you know, this is continuing over the past 100 days since China rolled out this policy. Yeah. They have been relocating, you know, Uyghurs and sending them en masse to these quarantine, so-called quarantine facilities. And it's been 100 days and nobody has been released. When in reality, if you're really sending them to quarantine, it's only supposed to be for, what, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks at maximum.
Right. Yeah, no, it's absolutely horrific. Maggie was just telling me, Maggie, why don't you open your microphone? We retweeted, just to put this, if you want to check this out for yourself, I mean, it's hard. I feel like I'm not doing justice to the gravity and the magnitude of the atrocities that are taking place here. You know, I could probably more eloquently describe the suffering and the hardship that is currently going on. But Maggie actually grabbed some video and she retweeted it. Maggie, you saw some of the video, right?
Yeah, there's an account that we follow on Twitter that I think this person either lives in China or lived in China, and they get a lot of footage of what's going on in these, like, local provinces. And there's so many videos, video after video of these quarantine concentration camps, and they're just as far as the eye can see. They're just tiny little closets, basically, just one after another, and people are shipped to them, and I mean, I don't even I don't know what happens once they're there.
Unbelievable. Yeah, no, I've seen video too. It's just absolutely, absolutely horrific. Let me grab a call or two because we have a moment left, I think. Rochelle is listening in Nevada. Hi, Rochelle. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks. Thanks for calling. We have really a small window of time left, only a minute or two, so I'll let you get your comment in.
Okay. Some of us educators and those who study the politics of how since World War II, and we're teaching our generations going forward how we're being peaceful and economically growing people and populations. So the promises that were made in the year 2000 that the border regions of China and Turkmenistan, as well as all the border lines that have changed between the year 2000 up to present day, didn't we all resolve it with economic developments and economic development solutions? And if we have not, we should go back to those same treaties.
Okay, I'm going to hold you on that point. Prime Minister, final thoughts? You got about 20 seconds.
Yes. You know, all of us as individual Americans, we need to do more to raise awareness. We need to pressure our elected officials. You know, we should all, you know, spend at least a minute of our time, you know, Googling Uyghurs and, you know, learning what's happening and informing others.
I got to leave it right there. Thank you for what you're doing. We'll continue to ring the bell.